Our scripture reading for today will come from the book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning with verse 27. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, beginning with verse 27, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and intended to kill them. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by the people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him. But he was killed. And all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After this, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God." They took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. The early church is facing challenges. We're going to see that they also face challenges from within with regards to having sufficient servants and funds to take care of those that are in need. Why is the Lord allowing this to happen to new believers? It is a challenge to their faith. But we know that if you prove true, you come through stronger. "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience." As James writes in James chapter 1. The gospel, by those who have been saved, those who have repented of their sins and professed their faith in Christ Jesus, being baptized into his name, is good news. It is a message of hope. It is a truth that rings with liberty, freedom from sin and from the tyranny of Satan, victory over death. But that same truth is most inconvenient to the Jewish leadership. The title of my lesson this morning is "An Inconvenient Truth." What makes truth inconvenient? We'll discuss that some today. Right now, the religious leaders, the Jewish council, believes that they are calling the shots. And what they are witnessing in Jerusalem is quite upsetting to them. Because these men, the apostles, The followers of Christ are causing a great stir. And it is not just a few that are being influenced by it. Last week we talked about the 3,000 and then the 5,000 and then the multitudes daily. Could be as many as, if not more, as 10,000 believers that are meeting and gathering together. And the Jews are trying to put a stop to this new faith that is cruising through the streets of Jerusalem. And so earlier they had called in the apostles and they gave them strict orders, and it's recounted here. We told you that you are not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Well, the apostles haven't listened to them, have they? And they said, not only are you preaching in his name, you're trying to make us guilty of his blood. And we might immediately think, well, you are guilty of his blood. But they don't see Jesus as having been an innocent. You're not guilty of someone if they were committing blasphemy and you killed them. And that's how they view Jesus, and they view his followers as lawless men as well. And they say, you're trying to turn this against us and make us look bad. He was a rebel. He was a blasphemer. He deserved to die. We are simply upholding the law, and we might add the status quo. And they are so incensed at this second arrest of the apostles. Really, it's the third. You remember what happened on the second arrest? They were thrown into jail. And as we read last week, an angel of the Lord, without opening the gates or disturbing the guards, released them and told them to go back into the temple to preach. And yet here they are, arrested again, standing before them. And they are declaring that they are incensed against what they are teaching. You're not listening to us, and we are the ones who are in authority. Now let's just look for a moment at their side of things. Aside from thinking that Jesus was a blasphemer and certainly not the Christ or the Messiah, we talked about religious fervor last week amongst the Christians, but also amongst the religious leadership, the Jews. This truth, which they don't want to yield at this moment, is truth, is inconvenient because they are concerned about their national standing. After all, they are under the oppressive regime of Rome, and they are responsible for keeping the peace, or Rome will come in and punish everyone. And they'll do that in less than 40 years. It's inconvenient because it goes against their national traditions, their Jewish culture. It influences their political power and causes them to look bad in the eyes of men. It's a basis of national pride, isn't it? And so they see the gospel as a threat and these apostles as men who need to be silenced. How does Peter and the rest of the apostles respond? But Peter said, and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. Peter hits the nail on the head, doesn't he? This is not something that is within your power to thwart. We have been commissioned by the highest of powers. God himself has commanded us through our Savior and Prince, Jesus Christ, to proclaim this message. And if it comes down to a choice between you and him, we must obey God rather than men. I have that written on the marquee. Peter said we must obey God rather than men. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. That should be our theme as Christians today. God wants us to be law-abiding. In Romans chapter 13, he demands it of his followers, the followers of Christ, to do what the governing authorities tell you to do, to show them respect and honor, save for forbidding you to practice your religion, to obeying Christ. If it comes down then to a choice between the two, this is the motto for all Christians. We must obey God rather than men. I don't believe Peter is showing disrespect. I think he really is calling them into account. You have not only slain the Son of God, whom he's going to reveal God has resurrected, but you even now are flying in the face of his authority. The God of our fathers, verse 30, raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on the cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Peter says this message is not something that's mundane and can be swept under the carpet. This is that which provides salvation to the nation of Israel. You're more, he might have said, or it might be implied, you're more concerned about your political standing than the state of your salvation. He is preaching the gospel to them, isn't he? Just as surely as he said to those who were pricked in their hearts, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He is now proclaiming to them, the one you crucified, God resurrected, and he has now ascended into heaven. He is a prince and a savior. He is your only salvation. He has come to bring about forgiveness of sins for Israel, if Israel will but repent. And by the way, we are witnesses to these things. You're asking us to deny that which our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. And the Holy Spirit has descended upon us as well. He too has testified. God is willing to forgive those who obey him. It's a very short message, but a very sharp and to-the-point message. Sadly, they're pricked in their hearts. But verse 33 says, they were cut to the quick and intended to kill them. If you don't like the message, silence the messenger. Now, it's going to get worse. We're going to see it very shortly in the martyrdom of Stephen, one of the first deacons. But for now, a voice of reason stands up within the council, and his name is Gamaliel, whose name means, my God is my recompense or my reward. We're going to see Gamaliel again too in Acts chapter 22 and verse 3. Paul is going to reveal that Gamaliel was his teacher. But Gamaliel, being a man of sound mind and quick thought, stands up and says, wait a minute, gentlemen. He knows the atmosphere, that they're ready to kill these men. And so he asks the apostles to be removed from the room, and he stands to counsel the council. And he says, wait, I sense what we're about to do here, and I want to exhort you to caution. He says, after all, we've seen uprisings before. Thaddeus got 400 men to follow after him, but it didn't last long. He died and his followers were scattered. Judas of Galilee similarly got a following, but he died and his followers were scattered. And if this is from men, it too will fall apart. But Gamaliel senses something that the others don't quite see. He senses that this might have some validity. He says, but if this is from God, you're not only not going to stop it. Think about that a minute. God's plan cannot be thwarted. You're not only not going to stop it, you're going to find yourself clearly indicted as being against God. Now, for all their blindness to spiritual truths when it comes to Jesus of Nazareth being the Messiah, the Christ, in their heart, they at least are keeping up the appearance of trying to do what's pleasing to God. And Gamaliel says, we have got to take a step back here, or we may find ourselves the enemy of Jehovah. And it says they took Gamaliel's advice in the sense that they didn't kill them, but that doesn't mean that they don't still punish them and threaten them. They took Gamaliel's advice and they brought the apostles back in. They flogged them and still gave them orders not to teach or to preach anymore in his name. Who are you going to believe? On which side do you stand? Is the gospel an inconvenient truth for you? Joshua said clearly to the people in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That resonates with Peter's response, doesn't it? We must obey God rather than men. Turn with me to hymn number 414. 414. Father God, just for today, help me walk your narrow way. Help me stand when I could fall. Give me the strength to hear your call. May my steps be worship, may my thoughts be praised, may my words bring honor to your name. May my steps be worship, may my thoughts be praised, may my words bring honor to your name. Here I am just for today. Live in me. Have your way, for my desire when this race is run is only to hear you say, well done. May my steps be worship, may my thoughts be praise, may my words bring honor to your name. May my steps be worship, may my thoughts be praise, may my words bring honor to your name. And that is the attitude that the apostles have as they go back to the followers of Christ with backs that are bleeding. They went away from the council rejoicing, it says in verse 41, that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And then they kept right on preaching, didn't they? And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. How could you rejoice after being beaten? Jesus had told them in Mark chapter 13, verses 9 through 11, be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Inspiration. In the words, we must obey God rather than men. Is the truth inconvenient today? Sadly, it's inconvenient today, often amongst those who proclaim themselves as believers. We can get caught up in things that have us setting aside the practices of worship, the assembling together, We get our own priorities and routines and plans, and it's just too inconvenient. We yield to the status quo. I mean, let's not get fanatical about religion. We are swayed, sadly, by the arguments of men, whether they be friends or intellectuals. Sadly, the authorities are now going to be getting involved, it appears. We want to follow social norms. We like being popular. I want to talk about that more this afternoon. Do we find ourselves tuning out what God's Word says? Perhaps we should listen a little closer to the advice of Gamaliel. It will pass if it's not from God. Thaddeus and his 400 followers did. Judas of Galilee and his followers were scattered. But then he says in verse 39, "But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. And in fact, you may find yourself fighting against God." Who do you think is going to win that fight when man pits his strength against God? Christianity has proved itself, hasn't it? For more than 2,000 years, it has been in existence, and multitudes of men and women have obeyed it and have found a place in God's kingdom and have the hope of heaven. If we are believers today, we must obey no matter how inconvenient. The apostles understood that. They were arrested, threatened, and flogged, and yet they responded with courage and boldness, with rejoicing in the fact that they were counted worthy to suffer shame. And they went right on preaching the truth. Religious fervor? Oh, it's still evident, isn't it? Whether it be incorrect in following those things that are no longer of God, traditions that have been fulfilled, ceremonies that are no longer called for by God, that the Jewish system has promoted for, rightly so, for 1,500 years, but now that which was once a type, a symbol, has been set aside. The blood of animals has been set aside by the blood of Christ. God expects all men everywhere to hear, believe, repent, confess Jesus' name, being baptized into it for the forgiveness of sins, and remain faithful. I pray that the gospel is not an inconvenient truth, but that upon which you will take a stand to firmly obey and proclaim.